Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Blue Mountain Community Church. We're so glad that you joined us this morning. Welcome live stream. We're glad that you're here too, and internet radio. Our mission here at Blue Mountain Community Church is to help today's generation come to know, love, and serve Jesus. And our vision is to be a community of believers as described in Acts 2. God is so worthy of our praise, isn't he? It's just a wonderful opportunity to come together and worship the Lord and lift up his name. We are his children, and he loves when his children gather together in praise, whether together in the same room or all jointly with one voice. Let's worship him.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child.
Yeah. is worthy of all that you have, all that you are.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. done for me.
Good for you? Has God done something good for you? Yes. Thank you, Jesus, that you are good to us, that you love us, that you, Lord, that we are transformed by your word, the renewing of our minds. Jesus, thank you that you gave your life on the cross for us. Thank you that you did that good thing for us, Lord, that you handcrafted us. You made this world for us to enjoy. Lord, you made for us each other to enjoy and to be together, to lift up the name of Jesus, to edify others, to glorify you, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us. Lord, in this world right now where there's hopelessness and there's anger and there's rage and there's stuff going on that a year ago, if you had told us, we would have never believed it. And yet, Lord God, here we are, and there you are. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, you just love us, and we just don't want to forget to be grateful, to speak out to you, Lord, in boldness and proclaim your word and truth with boldness and clarity and with joy and hopefulness, Lord God. We do have hope of a great future in heaven with you, Lord God, for all who would say yes to salvation. God, that is something to be excited about. And Lord, we just thank you that you are in our presence today as two or more are gathered. Lord, you're here. You're in the homes with those that are watching by live stream. And I pray, Lord God, for peace and joy in every home, for healing of diseases and sicknesses. Those who are at home because they're shut in, those who are at home because they're not feeling well, we just thank you for your healing. We thank you for that power, Lord God, that is in your blood that was shed for us. And Jesus, thank you that you died and you rose and you're now seated at the right hand of God, making intercession on our behalf. And Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come quickly, Lord, that you would come and you'd bring us to be with you, Lord. And in the meantime, Lord, let your light shine. Lord, let us not be afraid of the dark, and let us not be afraid of the light that's inside of us, to let it shine and speak truth, and to help those around us come to know you, love you, and serve you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our area, for what you're doing in our personal lives. Lord, what you're doing in our world. And God, we pray for those that are in leadership. We pray for our president. Lord, we pray for all those that are making decisions on our behalf. Lord, we pray for our governor, Lord, that you would just bring wisdom and understanding and your truth and your way, Lord God. We want your way. And Lord, no matter what is happening around us, again, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We keep our eyes focused on you and not on man. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. You gave yourself for us. Speak through Cliff today as he brings the message. And Lord, that you would just work in our souls, Lord, and let your word sink down so deep, Lord. Let our hearts be like fertile ground, that your word would sink so deep that we'd get those roots that could not be shaken, Lord. And Lord, that your word would just grow and grow and bring much fruit. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn and say hello to one another, and you may be seated.
One in a crowd. Always, you give them 30 seconds, they're going to take 60 seconds. There's always one. No, it's good. It's good, right? Good morning, everyone. Good to see y'all. And I know you're taking time. It's good to, you know, good to give a hug if you're into that kind of thing. That's cool. No, it's good. You know, so we just want to welcome you here. I'm Pastor Cliff. Ready to dive into God's Word in a minute. Before we do that, we're going to continue on with our worship service. Our worship being our demonstration of our love for Jesus by being obedient to him, by giving tithe and offering. Now, we don't pass the buckets anymore, but there are envelopes if you still want to do that, go that way throughout the building. Jim, you want to point out that bucket right there? There's a nice little slot you can drop it in there, okay? And in the lobby there's some more, or you can give online, you know, right through our website. Don't do it right now. You'll click away from that. You'll click out of the service. But later on, make a note. Continue to give online, you know. And again, just, you know, we're just so thankful for our congregation that takes God at his word and says, yep, we believe it. We're not going to let situations or circumstances dictate our obedience to God's word. So, you know, God's word says, test him in this. Test him when it comes to faith, to giving to him resources, and see if he will not do more for you and cause what you have left to go further than if you kept it all for yourselves. That's his promise, and you can literally take that one to the bank. So we're going to pray over our tithe and offering. This is the third Sunday of the month, so we highlight our missions and Go Ye Missions, specifically our partner ministry over in India. We're going to talk about them in a little bit, actually, so all that's out there. You can always go to our Get Connected table for more information on those kind of things. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this glorious morning today you have made. We will rejoice in it. And Lord, we rejoice in the opportunity we have to demonstrate our love and our faith in you by giving to you tithe, 10%, and giving offerings above and beyond to those who are in need. Father, it says in your word that if we give to the poor, that you then are in our debt and you're good to pay back 30, 60, 100 fold. So Father, thank you for being good to your word to provide, to open up windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we can't contain. Father, thank you that you do this. As you do this, your good news continues to go spread, not just locally, but all around the world, and then the end shall come. Father, thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so you ready to dive into God's word?
Yes.
All right. I'm excited. Why am I excited? Well, I'm excited every week, right, Jeff? I'm always excited. But we reach the end of Hebrews 11. Oh, I mean, We've taken 18 weeks now to come to these two verses in Hebrews 11. This is the culmination of the entire faith chapter. This is the point, you know, we look through all these heroes of faith. And if you missed the past message, you can grab a CD. We still make CDs. You can just fill out a request. We'll get it to you. Or go to our website and check out past messages. You know, if you need 18 weeks, you know, if you got a lot of time, 18 weeks, go out to catch up on it, right? But Hebrews 11, all these heroes of faith, this litany of all these heroes from the Old Testament, from the history of the nation of Israel, that God says, look to these people as examples. But now in verses 39 and 40, the writer of Hebrews turns his attention squarely from the past down to us today. This is why Hebrews 11 is so important, why it impacts us, how it impacts us, and what we're supposed to do in order to live by faith. So pretty cool. I'm real excited about this. This is, today's message is the culmination of the entire chapter of Hebrews. Okay? So buckle up. So we'll back up for context, contextual purposes. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 10, starting verse 38. What is faith? Right? Why is this so important to us? What does that have to do with me? So let's read Hebrews 10, verses 38 through chapter 11, verse 2 together. Okay? God starts out by saying, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now the writer says, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. And then he spends the next like 38 verses going through and talking about all these people, men and women of faith, who gained approval, who gained a good testimony. They were the example, right? The proof of God's goodness and what happens when we live a life by faith. And then he hits us with these two verses in verses 39 and 40. Let's read this nice and loud together. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Huh? Right? I mean, he has spent all this time talking about all these history, these great men and women, these pillars of faith, and he says, but without us, they wouldn't be made perfect. I mean, he is talking squarely to the church. He's talking at his time and down to us today. He is talking right at us. Now, I promised you way back in April, when we were moving through this, when we read verse 13, that we were going to come to this verse, because he starts giving you some foreshadowing. So we're going to read verse 13 again from Hebrews chapter 11. That was the message on windshields and rearview mirrors. Okay, we talked about these verses, and I promised you then that he was tying the end of the chapter together. So let's read Hebrews 11 verse 13, just to again kind of seat this in our mind. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Now, that's important, okay, because this is a good preacher right here. He's setting you up. He's telling you what he's about to tell you. Now we reach the end, he's going to tell you what he just told you. Okay, after about halfway through, he's already setting you up saying, all these heroes of faith, they died without receiving the fullness of the promise. We get to the end, he says the same thing. They had a good testimony, it was God's intent, but they died without receiving the fullness of the promise. Okay, in that message on windshields and rearview mirrors, the point of that message of verse 13 is that faith looks to the future because fear looks to the past. Fear gets stuck and won't move forward. Faith is movement, according to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is movement, action towards an unseen future as if it were a present reality. All right? Now, all these heroes of faith, he talks about, they lived well and they finished well, yet they did so without receiving the fulfillment of the best promise of all. He's making the point that believers today can and should. Actually, we're going to see that we have an obligation to, in other words, it's a must, should surpass the heroes of faith because we have something they do not. Well, what is that? What do we have that these great heroes of faith did not have? We have a personal relationship with God made possible through Jesus Christ. That's what sets the New Testament believer apart from all these great heroes of faith in the past. We're going to look at that, all right? He makes this point earlier in Hebrews 9. Again, all this Hebrews 9 is all set up for this encouragement, exhortation, and challenge. He is absolutely throwing the bar out there saying, look, guys, all you who say, well, I can't measure up to that kind of faith. I can't be like Moses. I can't be like Abraham. I can't be like David. And on and on and on. He says, oh, yes, you can, and you should, because you have something they didn't. In Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14, he's asking, this is almost a rhetorical question he's asking here. He says, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, I don't get what he's talking about here, okay? We have to understand that the Old Testament relationship with God, all these heroes of faith, and that's what they covered all the Old Testaments, all before Jesus Christ. The Old Testament relation with God was based on the atonement of sin. To atone means to cover temporarily. Why is that important? Okay, now, and because the New Testament relationship with God is based on the payment or the cancellation, the complete removal of sin. And those are two very different things. Now, I've used this illustration before. It bears worth repeating. Okay, the Old Testament relationship with God was like they understood that, hey, I have this sin nature and I do things that separate me from God, and so I have to make that right. I have to do something to bring myself into right standing with God, because God cannot participate, cohabitate with sin. Light and dark don't mix. Okay? So sin in the Old Testament, they would offer these, you know, animal sacrifices and stuff like that to kind of like make up for it, bring myself in a right standing with God. But it was temporary. How many of you ever had a water stain in your house, in your ceiling or on your wall or something? Right, you got a leaky sink or a leaky roof. You got a water stain that comes through, and what happens? You can paint over it, right? You can paint over it. What happens over time? It bleeds through, doesn't it? Joe, I think you guys know all about that, right? You helped us out with some water stains in our living room. 16 years worth of water stains, you know. What do you have to do, though? Okay? You can paint over it all you want. That water stain is still going to bleed through over time. That's what the Old Testament relationship with God and our sin was like. You could atone for it. You could cover it up. But after time, it would bleed through again. That's the Old Testament relationship. New Testament relationship is where Jesus Christ comes in. He doesn't just paint over that wall. He tears it all out, tears out the polluted stuff, puts in a brand new wall, makes it all look beautiful, makes it better than even factory standard, right? And he fixes the leak that causes that stain in the first place, so you don't have to worry about it again. Amen. Yes. That's good news. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's the good news, okay? And so the New Testament relationship with God is, it's not temporary anymore. Our sin is done. Any sin we could have ever, will ever, could ever commit is already forgiven in God's eyes. All we have to do is accept that. All right? So, why is that important? And how does that affect us? Okay? Because, oh, okay, well, we're gonna, yeah. So let's talk about this. All right, so here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. Let's read this aloud together. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's what I just said. Through Jesus Christ, through the spotless, perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, offering himself on the cross, becoming sin, he paid the penalty once and for all. He canceled the debt. It is no more. It doesn't exist anymore. So that's why we're able to have right standing eternally with God now, not temporarily. So the writer is making this point, again, asking this kind of rhetorical question, that if the sacrifice of a soulless animal in the Old Testament could bring us into temporary right standing with God, how much more so would the sacrifice of the Son of God bring us into eternal right standing? All right, that's the beauty of the New Testament. All right, and we've said that this is what separates Christianity from all other religions in the world, because every other religion in the world is man's attempt to reach up to God to attain what is impossible, and God understands that, so he did what we can't do. He reaches down to us and makes a way through his Son Jesus Christ, because we cannot attain his righteousness, we cannot attain his perfection. Every person sins. And the Old Testament folks, they did the same thing, all right? All those great Old Testament believers, they all had a moral failure at some point. Even Samuel, who it's not mentioned, it stands to reason that Samuel has something that he understood. I have to go to God. I need his grace. I need his mercy. I need to atone for my sin all the time so that I can maintain my right standing with God. So all we have to do, Jesus said and Paul said, is that all we have to do in order to enter into this new contract, the new covenant, is to believe it in our hearts and speak it with our mouth. Now, why is that important? Because this is what we've been saying through this entire series. We've said that you can't act contrary to what you believe. So what we're saying is that you can, then you will live according to what you believe if it's in your heart. You believe it here, you'll speak it. So all we have to do is believe it and speak it. And so to live by faith is to live according to what you believe. And so if you truly believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and that he paid all of your sins, then you're going to live in accordance with that great gift. You're going to live with that acknowledgement, with that understanding, saying, man, if it weren't for Jesus, I'd be nothing. Amen. So, if the Old Testament believers could live by faith in an imperfect covenant, one that needed to be renewed and repeated, how much more so can you live by faith in the perfect covenant? Amen. I don't like where this is going. Right? But that's the point he's making. That's the entire point of Hebrews 11. It's not a history lesson. It's to bring us into the present to say, you have so much more of an opportunity here and now, and you can live the abundant life because you have what they didn't have. They could do it. Even apart from God, they could do it. So how much more can you do it? And because the Old Testament believers, because of this covenant, because of this contract, because of the way sin would permeate over time, right? They were pretty much, in essence, pen pals with God. Look at it, right? It was long distance. What do you mean by that? Okay. Well, now think about it. How many of you remember pen pals? I know they still do it in school, right? You have pen pals in elementary school. You know, you'd write a letter to some child, some kid in another classroom across the country. Write them a letter, send it out. I know they still do it by email in class. You know, it's a little more different. But, okay. But you would send them a letter out, and then what happens? You'd wait. And a couple weeks later, hey, we got mail today. And so you get the letter from your pen pal across the country. Oh, my name's Tom. I like baseball. You know, right? Okay. And you would have that relationship. Now, how many of you did that? Okay. How many of you still have a relationship with your pen pal? I knew there'd be at least one. Two. Okay. That's great. That's about what I figured, actually. Right? And that happens. Long-term relationships, long-distance relationships can still survive. They are the exception. Because what happens? Time and distance work against us. Out of sight, out of mind. You forget about it. Life happens. Other priorities come in and crowd those things out. That's a long-distance relationship. That's what life was like for Old Testament believers. Because God cannot cohabitate, coexist with sin, so he would show up and talk and give them some word, and then, oh, I gotta go. And so these heroes of faith, they maintain that long-distance relationship, but they are the exception to the rule. That's the point he's making. As so many other people go, you know what? I don't see him. I don't hear from him. It's been years, so we give up on the relationship. I think of, like I said, some relationships can work because you have to have the discipline and the perseverance and the stick-to-itness to say, no, I want to stay up on this, right? And it does. Long-distance relationships can work. I think of Pastor Rick and his brother, you know, in ministry, Valu. One half of the founder of Goya Missions in Southern India. And we'll talk about how we listen to the Spirit and how the Spirit directs us and directs things, right? But I think of, you know, way back in the mid-80s, you know, Pastor Rick going to this free breakfast in a conference hosted by a church over in New Jersey, and he goes there and he meets this little Indian guy who comes up to him and offers him a piece of candy, you know, and from that they start this conversation, and it became very evident very quickly how God had ordained to bring them, to allow their paths to cross and knit their hearts together. And then Rick says, well, why don't you come home and live with me for a while, right? I can't, Nancy, what? You imagine, Rick, he goes to breakfast, he comes back with somebody, hey, this guy's going to live with us for the next 3 months. Like, what? You know? But listening to the Holy Spirit and God knit their hearts together. And so Valu stayed for 3 months, and as a church, we said, yes, this is a ministry we want to partner with around the world. We're going to support you, you know, both in terms of financial and in terms of prayer. Right? But then Valu, what? He had to go back home. And this is, you know, back in the mid-80s, you know, I mean, like, you ever try to dial an international phone number on a rotary phone? You know? Start over again, you know, right? Dialing 16 numbers on a rotary phone. If you could even get connection, if he was even there to answer the phone. And I remember Rick would be like, oh, Valu, I can't quite, you know, bad connection and fuzzy. Oh, I dropped the call, you know? again, mid-'80s, early 90s, Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet, so he didn't have email. He didn't have, you know... I thought I would slide that one through and nobody would notice. Right, but we didn't have Wi-Fi and 5G networks and all this stuff. And so I remember, you know, it was difficult to maintain that relationship. There was a lot of trust involved because, you know, you're okay, I'm talking to him, but I haven't seen him. You know, there's no way to verify that what he says is actually happening is what's actually happening unless you, what, hop on a plane and go over there. 10-hour time difference, you know, and it's like a 17-hour flight to get over there. Okay, and you know, so I mean, you know, Valu stayed here for a few months, and he's been back and forth. Rick's been over there 9 times to go visit, and Valu's been here countless times. You know, and I know each time they went, you'd go and you, okay, let me see this relation. Let me see what's actually happening here. Is this actually true? Is this something we still want to support? Yes, it is. Okay, now we're reinvested, right? We have the proof of what he says is actually happening. Is actually happening on both sides. You know, and I know that how much they cherish those relation those times when they would see each other because you never knew. I don't know when I'm going to see him again because that's a big commitment to see each other halfway around the world, okay? And that relationship has endured 30 plus years now, okay? We fast forward to today. Now, again, that was like what was like in the Old Testament for believers with God. Well, I see him every couple of months, maybe every couple of years, and I just keep going on trust that what he says he's going to do, he's actually going to do. That's Old Testament covenant. New Testament is kind of like it is today. You know, there's a picture, that's me and VJ. Now, VJ is Valu's nephew. Valu and his brother Elan, they formed Go Ye Missions, and VJ is Elan's son, and Elan passed away a few years ago. VJ has become the heir for Go Ye Missions. He's the next generation of leadership there. You know, he's received the baton of leadership from Valu, much like Jenny and I have received it from Rick and Nancy. Okay, and so last year in 2019, now I met VJ 7 years ago, the first time we went to India. We met him on our way out. We had a layover in Dubai where VJ was working at the time. And we only had a few hours, and so I met him, we became friends on Facebook, okay, you know, but I really didn't interact with him a whole lot because it was a whole bunch of people, and I wasn't doing what I was doing now, and he wasn't doing what he's doing now, so a lot different. 7 years later, you know, last year in 2019, we went back, Rick and Ted and I, and really a lot of it was to see, hey, is the next generation of leadership on both sides, are they going to continue this partnership? You know, is God going to knit our hearts together with VJ like Rick and Valu had? You know, and the answer after a week is, yeah, absolutely. You know, that God did an incredible thing, was spending time with him. You know, I mean, Facebook is great. You know, you can see what's going on there. But, you know, we also understand that there's a bit of surface-level stuff going on there. You don't really know if it's authentic. You don't know until you're sitting right next to somebody, you know, rubbing shoulders with them in a car for 8 hours or whatever you're doing, that you get to know somebody and really see what's happening and spend some time with them. So we came back and said, yep, Blue Mountain Community Church is going to continue to partner with Go Ye Missions for the next 30 years, you know, and continue to spread the gospel. We pray for them, they pray for us, and, you know, it's a wonderful thing. So there's a picture of us. And the point is that thanks to modern conveniences, you know, I can talk to VJ all the time. We talk pretty much every week, you know, with message back and forth, 10-hour time difference. He can send me pictures. He can go live on, you know, Facebook Live or whatever and show me, you know, walk around and here's what's happening. You can see it instantaneously. It's instant access, okay? And we just want to take a minute here just to pray for VJ, because VJ informed us that he actually has phase one of the coronavirus, okay? So we're going to pray. He's just like, you know, he's being treated. He's like, you know, we'll see what happens. He's trusting God. But we just want to take a moment as a congregation to pray for him. Can we do that? All right, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word says that where two or more are gathered, asking in your name that you would hear us and you would answer. Lord, certainly our hearts are knit together here, and we're lifting up as in one voice, lifting up to you our brother VJ and his family over in southern India. Lord, across the miles, we know that you can move and you can work. So, Father, we ask you to pour out your healing on him even now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, Lord, he is already healed. So, Father, thank you for his faith as he stands firm, not looking at a situation or a circumstances, but trusting in you to provide, to heal, and deliver. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening him, for empowering him. Thank you, Lord, for supplying him, for him and his family, and for the ministry, all that they need. Thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so, long-distance relationship, pen pals can work. It's a lot easier when you have instant access today. And that's what it's like for New Testament believers. We have instant access to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we can and should and must live a life of faith that surpasses even the example set for us by the Old Testament heroes, because they didn't have that access. Look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3. We're going to talk about this. It happens through his Holy Spirit. That's the conduit. That's the power source. And we're going to talk about why so many people struggle. It's because they're not locking into this power source. Let's look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3. Let's read this aloud together. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the first half of this is what we already talked about, that through Jesus Christ, we are entered into God's kingdom, that we are part of his chosen people. In the Old Testament, it was the Hebrews, the Jews. They were the chosen race. Now, through Jesus Christ, that is open to all the Gentiles, that's anyone who's not a Jew, that we can become part of God's family, right? Through Jesus Christ, because he became sin for us. All that so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. That's the whole point. God wanted to send his Spirit to all of us. Look at what he says in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So now Paul, again, he's transitioning. He's talking right to the believers. He's saying, Gentiles, right? He's talking to Gentiles here. You who are not Jewish. He said, you also, after you've heard the truth, you believe it in your heart, you speak it with your mouth, you are now sealed then, the evidence, the proof that you belong. Sorry about that. That came out of nowhere. The evidence, he says, the evidence that you belong to God is you receive his Holy Spirit and you are sealed in it for God's glory. That's the point he's making here. He says that's the evidence that you belong to God is you have his Holy Spirit. And then Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, Jesus said, but I tell you the truth. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. He's just got done telling them that I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to come back to life, and then I have to go away again. I'm going to leave. And they're like, no, you can't leave us. You're the best thing ever. You're the best thing since sliced bread, Jesus. Right? And Jesus says, no, it's to your advantage that I go away, because here's what's going to happen. Okay, Lord. He says, if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is one man. He's still, even though he was God in the flesh, he's still just a human being. Human beings can what? Be in one place at one time. He says, if I can stay here, he said, but I'm only going to be, you know, so good. If I go away, I can send the Spirit, and the Spirit can be everywhere, all the time, with all people. So it's to your advantage. But he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So this is how we can live by faith, because we have his Holy Spirit. This is the great advantage and the promise that the Old Testament believers did not receive in this life. They received it when they went to be with God forever, right? But they didn't have it in this life. But we have access to it through the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit for an intimate and permanent relationship. Not long distance, not pen pals, not even social media distant, but hey, why don't you come live with me for the next rest of my life? Right? If somebody lives with you, your actions are intertwined. Everything you do is known by and affected by the other person. The Holy Spirit will lead us into God's truth because it is all that he can speak. So this is how we can live by faith, how we can live according to God's ways, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, because that's all he can do. Jesus said, I can only do what the Father tells me. That's all I can do. Now, he made that choice as a human being to submit himself to that, but he said, that's all I listen to, that's all I can do. The Holy Spirit isn't blown by human logic or situations or circumstances, isn't impressed by philosophy or science or anything else. All he does is say, this is what God the Father says, so that's what I'm going to tell you. That's all he's concerned about. And so this is how and why we can live by faith, because we are no longer responding to temporary situations. We're not looking at it like that. What is faith? Faith is movement towards an unseen future as if it were a present reality. Through the Holy Spirit, we see with eternal vision. And so that's why we can live by faith. Paul says in Romans 8, now stay with me on this, because this is your power source. We've got to connect the dots here. Paul says in Romans 8, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Paul and Jesus both said that it was the Holy Spirit of God that brought Jesus back to life from the grave, rescued him from eternal separation from God, right? Defeats sin and death through the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit is the one that lives with us. Not a separate, not a different Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. So then, brothers, sisters, my dear family, we are under obligation. Whoa, that just changed. We just went from, well, you should, it's a good idea, it's possible to live by faith, to you must live by faith, according to the Spirit. We are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you're living according to the flesh, you must die, but we are under obligation if by the Spirit putting to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. So we're not subject to the flesh anymore. Because we have the same Spirit that lives within us, right? Then we don't look to the past. We don't look through a situation. We don't look with temporary vision. We look with eternal vision through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, so we move forward with confidence into a future that we don't yet see. That's the obligation that we have. So this is how we can live by faith, and this is why God expects us to live by faith and to be more perfect. In other words, to be more mature. That's why he said in Hebrews 11 that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. God expects us to be even more mature than the Old Testament believers because we have his Holy Spirit. We have access to it 24/7, every second of every day. Amen. Amen. Now, Paul said the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us. So let's look at what that Spirit does. This is in Isaiah chapter 11. This is Old Testament. Isaiah talking about Jesus Christ, prophesying. But again, we're going to connect the dots here, right? The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, on Jesus, okay? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. All right, Satan, I've had enough of that. And decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he, Jesus, will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Okay, well, he's talking about Jesus here. Yeah, but what did Paul say? Same Spirit that lives in Jesus is the one that lives in us. Therefore, all these things is the same Spirit that lives within us. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and strength, Spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, the delight in the fear of the Lord. All of that now lives within us. That's why we can live by faith. That's what I just said. So, therefore, okay, because it's the same Spirit lives within us, therefore, God says we have a responsibility and an obligation to live our lives according to the example set before us, the Old Testament heroes and Jesus himself, because it is not our ability. It's not about our strength, our wisdom, any of that stuff. It's about God's Holy Spirit living within us, and He can do only what the Father says to do. So you want to, you know, you want to have truth, you want to have judgment, you want to have discernment in this world. You got to rely on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can only speak God's truth. You rely on yourself, you're going to be confused, you know, fearful, all that stuff. So our point for today, for this message, the point for all of Hebrews 11 is this: the key to living a life of and by faith is to intentionally invite the Holy Spirit in, the Holy Spirit's input into as many situations as possible. Gee, Cliff, we could have saved 18 weeks of messages, you know, if you had just said that. Hot tea. With honey. Thank you, love. Honey from my honey. Thank you, dear. Oh, that's good. In this cool little Lego cup. I'll put it here, Lloyd, so I don't get anywhere near any electronics. That's better. Intentionally invite the Holy Spirit into as many situations as possible. And I'm telling you, like, this is why... Not doing this, this is why, first of all, if you're an unbeliever, if you don't yet have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, this is why it's so confusing. This is why you say, you know, the idea that I could actually talk to God, religious people talk to God, crazy people hear from God, right? The idea that that God could actually talk to you, it's not possible. You don't have His Holy Spirit. I read His Word, I just don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me, because you don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us understanding to help us know God's ways. And if you are a believer, you have a relationship with God, but you've been pen pals with Him to this point. This is why you're feeling disconnected, lost, and confused, because you're not tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it comes back to. It all comes down to that, right? This is why we struggle with in our faith, because we're not tapped into that power. I mean, how many times have you said this, right? I mean, it doesn't matter who's bringing the message up here. Somebody will come up and say, "Man, that message you brought, that was just exactly what I needed to hear. It's like you were in my house this week," right? I was talking to Bill Moore last night at the wing night at Duff's house, you know, and Bill said pretty much that same thing. He goes, "Yeah, we've been live streaming every week, you know, for this, that, and the other reason." He said, "It's just amazing every week. Like, man, that's just exactly what I needed to hear." So, Bill, good to see you, you know, checking in this morning. And it's good to know, Bill, that the cameras we put in your house are working, all right? That's how we know. No. No. That's not how it works, right? You know, as pastors, as teachers up here, we couldn't possibly know what's going on in each and every one of your lives throughout the week. We couldn't know that, and couldn't remember it even if we tried, right? But you know who can, who does know, and who can remember all that stuff? The Holy Spirit, because He's everywhere all the time. And so when the Holy Spirit, you know, that's the indication of how much He cares about you, because He knows what you're going through, and so He puts it on our hearts as teachers of the Word to say, here's what you need to say in this moment at the right time for the right reason. That's how much He cares about you. That's how much He's invested in your life, how much He's paying attention. Well, how many things should I ask the Holy Spirit about? How many things do you want His input on? Well, how often do you want to hear His voice? Really? And this is really what it's all about. How serious are you about training yourself to hear His voice so that you know what it is? That's all about that, okay? You know, somebody asked me one time, you know, does the Holy Spirit care what color socks I put on? Like, Dennis, you don't even wear socks. Does the Holy Spirit care about that? No, I don't think He does. But what He does care about is the fact that you want to ask Him and bring Him into it, into that part of your life. And if you ask Him, I bet He'll tell you. Right? Holy Spirit told me it was okay to wear shorts today, so it's hot out. Right? But I ask Him those things, okay? And it's about training yourself to hear His voice. I want to train myself to hear His voice so well that when the enemy comes and whispers, I pick that out from across the room and go, no, I know that voice. I know that's not God's Spirit. I'm not listening to that one. Well, okay, give me examples. What does that look like, all right? Okay, well, I mean, and we could spend the next week here telling stories about how God has used His Holy Spirit and being obedient to His Holy Spirit has brought us to where we are today. I mean, stories upon. Well, give me something practical. Okay, so this goes back. I was thinking about this. This was it was Easter weekend, right? Now, this was, we're right in the middle of the lockdown. Quarantine was in full effect. All that stuff. Nobody was going anywhere. And you know, and we had all these plans as a church, you know. Man, we were going to have this great service, Simply Jesus at Penn's Peak, and we were going to pack the house and all this stuff. And all that went out the window, and we had an Easter service right here at the church with five people. Me, Jenny, Bella, Lloyd, and Bob. That was our Easter service, right? Sunday morning. Okay, so now Sunday we have Easter, and we had quarantine with Jenny's sister, Alicia, and Eric and her boys because they live just a couple, you know, 50 yards behind us. You know, so we quarantined with them from the beginning. Easter. So we'll have an Easter egg hunt for the kids. That was the point. Easter egg hunt for the kids. It was a good time, all stuff, and Alicia was making this great dinner for us, which was really nice, you know. But we were doing all this, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, walk down to your house. And I was going to go walk down to my house to get some things because I, you know, some things I forgot, whatever. It's, you know, 75 yards, burn a few calories walking down, walking back up, right, so I can eat more. And the Holy Spirit was like, go right now. I'm like, okay. I know his voice. So I'm like, I said, I'll be back. I'm just going to walk down to the house for a minute. So I'm walking down the house, walking down through, you know, down the hill, through the field. I get about halfway down, and I look up, and I see a guy on a bicycle stop right at my driveway and get his cell phone out. And at first, I'm thinking, okay, what is this, right? Who is, what is, you know, what's going on here? As I got closer, I realized it's Dan James. You know, Dan, and here Dan had been out for a ride, and this was, again, middle of the quarantine, right? Nobody had seen anybody for 6-7 weeks at this point. And here, Dan had messaged, he had texted me, but I didn't have my phone on me. Just a hint for you guys. Sunday afternoons, I usually have my phone on me, so don't text me, all right? Text me Monday morning. But I'll get back to you, that's why, all right? I also don't have my phone on me. Here, Dan had texted me, hey, brother, I'm going out for a ride, you know, it's a beautiful day. I'm going to swing by, hopefully I can see you. I didn't get that message. I didn't know. But the Holy Spirit spoke and said, go right now. And as I'm walking down, there's Dan. We just talked, and you know, and it was just great. I mean, it was 5 minutes, but it was just, I mean, I know he broke down crying seeing him because I hadn't seen him in 7 weeks, right? Dan, love you, brother, you know? So the Holy Spirit cared. Say, here, go. Let's not miss this opportunity. And it was just great to just see each other, encourage each other, you know, smile, fist bump from across, you know, 10 yards. But that's, you train yourself to listen. When you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, he will lead you into those things. When I was going through seminary, you know, and all the years going through it and studying stuff, and, you know, they would be giving you books and stuff and say, here's a model, here's this, here's what you should be doing, you know, all this kind of new knowledge. And I would come and I would talk to Pastor Rick, and I'd be like, you're a genius. You've been doing this stuff for 20 years, right? How'd you do that? How'd you figure that out? And he said, because I don't follow man. Listen to the Holy Spirit. God, what do you want to do? He said, and the Holy Spirit will tell you how to build his church. And so that's the model that this church has been founded on. That's the model Jenny and I have learned because we watched Rick and Nancy and so many others do it. Be authentic. Not just go to church on Sunday and go, yeah, okay, that's great. But go home and every day intentionally invite the Holy Spirit in. Lord, what do you want to do here? What are you saying? What should I do? Where should I go? All that stuff. And the more you do that, the more he leads you into truth and his way and his justice and his understanding and the abundant life. That's how it works. So, how many things should I ask him about? Ask away. Ask away and see what he does, right? This is how we overcome the world. Hebrews 11 is all this, you know, this boost, this encouragement, this shot in the arm to say, yeah, you can do it. This is how you overcome the world. This is how you encounter the world as it is, but you live as it could be. This is how you know the difference between the lie of the enemy, which is perpetuated by our sin agenda, by our government, by the media, by the entertainment industry, all that, and discern that from his truth. This is how you do not give in to fear, not being bound up, but by you, how you can look, and not look to the past or even your present situation, but how you can look to the future with confident expectation that God is going to take you through it. That's how you live by faith. This is how you shine a light in the darkness. It's that simple. It's that simple, but it's not that easy, right? We said, I think Rick said it in one of the messages very early on of the pandemic and the lockdown, all this stuff. He said, you know, we recognize that you're going to come out of this whenever this is over. You're either going to come out of this either better, healthier, mentally, spiritually, physically, or you come out with a drinking problem, in essence. And we understand, we know, folks, we know, 4 or 5 months into this now, that divide is getting bigger and more pronounced. There's no middle ground anymore. We know a lot of people are hurting, okay? So our hearts go out to you, and that's why I believe the Lord has led us to go through, to spend 18, 19 weeks going through Hebrews 11, to continue to put this out there and say, it does not matter what you did yesterday. The most important day in your life is today, right here, right now. What are you going to do? You know, so the cure for the great divide, what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2. Let's read this aloud together. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Amen. Amen. So as we end our time here today, the question is this. Have you been merely pen pals with God to this point? Have you had a long-distance relationship? Is today the day you begin to live a life of faith by the power of his Holy Spirit? That's the question. That's the challenge for you. I'm going to invite you all to just close your eyes for just a minute. Here, on, you know, watching online, listening by radio, this is the question. This is the moment. This is the all of Hebrews 11 builds to this point. Whether there's anyone here today who says, you know what? Today's the day I want a relationship with the Almighty God. I want a personal relationship with him. I don't want to have this distant, I don't want to be pen pals with God anymore. I want him to move in with me, and I want to live a life according to of power by his Holy Spirit. If anybody making that decision, I just put your hand up. Okay, see. If anyone here is saying, you know what, this is a twofold question. First of all, if you need a relationship with God, or if you say, you know what, I haven't lived by faith, I haven't invited the Holy Spirit in, but today I'm making a decision that from now on I'm going to live by faith. If you're making that decision, just put your hand up. If you're watching online, I encourage you, even right where you are, you can do this, okay? Just reach out and say, yeah, today I'm saying yes to God. We're going to pray in just a second here. We know that when we believe it in our heart and speak it with our mouths, that God's going to do it. So let's pray. Repeat this after me, if you would, please. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you love me so much. You came to earth, took my place, paid my sin debt, and canceled the penalty. I am free because of you. I have right standing with God because of you. Not temporarily, but eternally. And I thank you, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit to live within me, to lead me, to guide me, and to bring me into your abundant life. Thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, I can and I will live a life of faith. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Music ministry, you guys want to come up? We got a song here. So Jenny, I got a few things to talk about. So if you are visiting with us this morning, this is your first time here, I'd love to meet you. You know, we've got some other folks who would love to just chat with you a bit. So when we're dismissed, you can go into our foyer there. There's a welcoming room against the other wall there. There's some nice folks in there. Get a free gift. We'd love to stop in there. Just say hi, okay? As always, stop by our Get Connected table, which is on the right-hand corner as you go into the foyer there. A lot of stuff happening, so stay up to date. You can get connected through through the email, through our connections, so you know what's going on. You know, we're slowly trying to ramp things up, kind of get back to where we were, understanding that we have restrictions and some things in place and staffing things. So we're, you know, but as much as we can offer, we're going to do that, okay? But a few things we want to point out, right?
So next Sunday after church, some of you have been asking about our discipleship class, if we're going to hold a discipleship class this year, and the answer is we will if we have the interest. So next Sunday after church, about 10:30, we're going to be meeting with anyone who's interested, and we'll share with you what the discipleship class is all about and go over a schedule. Typically, it will be Monday nights. It'll either be here at the church or in our home if it's a smaller group. We like to have a group of at least 10 or 12 to get together so that you can all get to know one another. But if you're interested in that, our discipleship class, you do have to be a member to do that. And we will run a membership class, again, if people are interested in that. But you'll learn about what you're your passions and your spiritual gifts are in the first class. The second class is how to share your faith by just being yourself. And the third class, you'll learn how to study your Bible in a new and fresh way. So it's a great class. If you're interested at all, join us next Sunday at 10:30, right, and we'll share
and
more about it.
If you can't make that, then send us an email or something. You know, let us know that you're interested, and we can communicate with you that way too. Okay.
That's
next Sunday after church, right, yep, since we only have one service. All right. Celebrate Recovery is happening this week. We continue to meet. Again, just to be clear, you know, I know the governor had his latest order that came out this past week. You had to dig for it, but churches are not subject to that restriction. So that's why we can meet. Small groups can meet. Elevate, all that stuff. We're all going to continue to meet, all right, with the social distancing guidelines and as much as we can, all right? So Celebrate Recovery this week. Doors open at 6. Wes is going to be teaching this week, so you want to check that out, all right? So that's that. The only other thing I'm going to point out is that we are still taking registrations now for the men's retreat, first weekend in October. At this point, we can plan to still go, Pocono Plateau. So if you're interested in that, we're going to win the day. That's our theme. So you can see me. There's Dad over there. Dad, you want to raise your hand? There's Pop. Pop's in charge of registration. So you can see him for that. So I know some guys are already asking about it. So you can see us for more information on that. Okay?
Awesome.
If you need prayer for anything. Woody's here, right? Good. We got our teams here. Come on up. They'll pray for you, encourage you, and give you that, give you what you need.
All right? Yeah.
All right.
Stand with us as we sing our last song, Greatness of Our God.
The dawn of creation, this world has been crying. We're here to save us. We long for the supernatural. There is only one God to save today. So clear the stage, prepare the way. Heaven and earth are singing. Glory, hallelujah. Let the whole world sing.
Thank you. is worthy. Have a wonderful day, everybody. We'll see you again next week. Bring a friend.
Some say don't give up and hope that your good is good enough. Head down, keep on working. If you can earn it, you deserve it. Some say push on through.